Open your Bibles to 2 Timothy, verse 20 through 21. And in that it says, "In a large house there are articles not only of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay. Some are for special purposes, and some for common use. Those who cleanse themselves from the latter will be instruments for special purposes, made wholly useful to the master, and prepared to do any good work."
Morning. Oh, is this on? Is it on? Oh, okay. There we go. All right, morning. Whew. I love getting dressed up and coming to church on Sunday. I'm going to tell you guys a little bit of a story, which is my sermon today. This story is about a young boy whose life was changed through many people and many places of his life. This is the start of the story. This is the beginning. It starts when school starts. A boy looking for friends and a place to belong, and he finds one. But these people aren't just surviving in a world where popularity is the key, but they're stopping others from doing the same, making people feel less than what they are, making them feel useless, and to be honest, he kind of likes it. This is the first of many opportunities God will use to change this boy's life, but he doesn't take it. This is the first opportunity that God will use to change his life, but he doesn't take it. We continue on. Now this boy tries to keep his popular place, but soon he realizes he won't be there for long. He soon gets knocked down from his high horse and is now at the bottom of the ladder of popularity. Now the tables have turned. Now his so-called friends are turning on him, calling him names, but that boy goes along with it, laughing, but on the inside, he's slowly being destroyed piece by piece. God is giving him a chance to change and be used for his kingdom. The boy looks at the offer and declines and moves on. Two years have passed. And these names, the name callings get worse. And now this bullying has had him at an all-time low. He decided that he has had enough, and he is convinced that suicide might be the only option for him because of these things that have been happening to him these past couple years. The boy looks up and yells, "Where are you now, God?" And then his mind has become completely controlled by the darkness, telling him that there is no God and that there is no hope. The third life key is now the part where he gets lost the most. Another year passes, and this boy is still here, but not giving God the credit, but he's giving himself the credit, thinking that the only reason he's survived is because of himself, the choices he's made, but really it's God who's helped him. This year has been better than the last one, but there's still that darkness behind him waiting for him to trip so that he can tackle it to the ground and tell him that he's useless and that he will never be good in God's eyes. But now, after hopping from church to church, he finally settles down at a church where he's introduced to some genuine believers and ministers, and a glimmer of hope resides in the boy looking for a change. But yet he turns and sees that darkness behind him and decides he can't be helped. The fourth opportunity, he has just passed. Now after some time, this boy realizes the joy that God has brought to these people. And after hearing about this Jesus guy for so long and seeing what hope and love he brings to the lives of those who believe in him, a small spark that has been in his heart for a very long time abruptly explodes into a giant flame and starts to burn. And this boy looks behind him and sees this darkness he's been fighting for so long. And then he turns back and sees Jesus in front of him saying, "We'll deal with that together." And for one, and for the first time in this boy's life, pure joy was in his heart. And in his mind, this Bible that has been in front of him countless times. Turning. Turns to Acts 2:38 saying, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Now, if you haven't realized by now, the boy is me. Those experiences, that darkness that was following that boy is mine. But those experiences have changed me. So when I came to the decision was quite easy. And it was in this church, right back there, I decided to accept Jesus into my heart and to let him use me for his kingdom. Yeah, okay, read this one. It doesn't matter where you are in your life. It is never too late to choose to follow Christ and let God use you for his kingdom. And even though the work might be really hard, I promise you, in the end where we are before God, he will look at us and he will say, "Well done, my child." And I can tell you here today that God will use you for his will. You know, we have that video. Oh, Jenna, wrong clip. I think that might be the wrong episode. Is this the third episode? No. Jeez, this is the right clip. I don't think it is. Do we need to get this situated? Well, here, I'll just explain it. So, the video I was going to show you, there's this man named Saul. He is a scholar, and he is a part of the temple of Jerusalem. Paul decides that Jesus followers that have been going around lately, that they've been building ground, and he's decided that it's not in the temple's good use for them to be around. So he decides that he's had enough, and he's going to start attacking them, trying to break them, trying to take them from existence. And in the clip I was going to show you, there's this camp that Saul brings a lot of men with swords and clubs and destroys the camp, burns it all to the ground. Now, while Peter and the other disciples escape, this shows how Saul at the time is now beginning his journey for God to change him. Paul is one of the greatest examples in the Bible. Before Paul became a Christian, he was Saul, and Saul seeked Christians not to pray with him, but to persecute them, arrest them, and even kill them. On his way to Damascus, Paul was confronted by Jesus, and Saul was blinded, and after he got his sight back, he was baptized and went on to become one of the greatest preachers in the Bible. There are many other examples of unlikely leaders in the Bible. I mean, you have David, and you have the youngest son out of 7 children, and yet he's the one who was anointed to be king. You also have Matthew, one of the 12 disciples. Before he started following Jesus, he was a hated tax collector, so I'm sure there were a lot of people surprised when they found out that Matthew was a disciple of Jesus and how his life had changed for the better. Another great example is Gideon in Judges. Now, Gideon was the 5th judge of Israel, who had a lot of good attributes. Like, he was a military strategist who was an expert on surprise. He had led a victorious Israelite army against the Midianite army. And he was even offered the title of king by the people of Israel. Now, there was one thing that stood out about Gideon. He feared that his own limitations would prevent God from working. And as humans, we often do the same thing. But God always will never put us into a situation that we cannot handle. So when God is trying to use you, don't be afraid that you can't do it, because God will be there to help you and walk with you. And in the book of Joshua, you have Rahab, a prostitute playing the role of hero, and is even mentioned in the beginning of Matthew in the family tree of Jesus. What Rahab did was, during the same time the Israelites were trying to take over Jericho, Rahab was in Jericho, and what she did was she did not let her fear affect her faith in God, that he would save their family from death. And he did. I'm not going to turn to the book of Second Timothy. Now during this time, Paul was in prison, and he's on death row, set to be killed. And he starts writing. Now these are his final words, so you would probably imagine there's a lot of emotion. Basically, Paul was giving Timothy a few last lessons, knowing that after Paul dies, the ministry will be a challenge to continue on. Second Timothy brings us to the brink of death, forcing us to consider its reality and how we might react when faced with it. Paul's response, it instructs us still today. His mind was not on himself, dwelling on the injustice that had been befallen him, instead trusting that God had him right where he wanted him. The aging apostle turned his attention to others, specifically to the church and to his young protege, Timothy. See, it doesn't matter what you've done or who you've wronged. Jesus offers us forgiveness and everlasting life. Then he uses us for his kingdom, and God is always, always looking for recruits. All we need to do is surrender to him. I never thought God would be able to use me, not after what I've done or what I've been through. And you might even think that too right now. But our God promises us that he will use us for his kingdom. All we have to do is surrender. So I guess the real question is, are you willing to surrender so that Jesus can take care of your sin and so that God can use you for his kingdom? Nope, not muted yet. Jen, I'm gonna come back here.
Well, as Zach mentioned, the letter that Paul wrote to Timothy was one that was during his deathbed. He knew he was about to die. So you can imagine it was one that was full of emotion, and he was ready to tell Timothy his most important words, his protege, before he went on to glory. And you can see that, as it says, even though I might be chained, you can't chain the gospel. It can't be chained. It's not going to be stopped. I think the central point that we see in 2 Timothy is in this very chapter that we read in chapter 2. It says, remember Jesus Christ. How often we often lose sight, I think. Remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead. The same Jesus Christ, as Paul says, who I'm suffering for, who I'm going through great endurance for, even to the point of being chained like a criminal. Remember him while you have been called into ministry. Paul surely faced difficult and discouraging times. And he says to Timothy, who was easily discouraged and known for being timid, he says to him, remember who it is that you are serving. Remember who called you and why he called you. So he's sending encouragement to Timothy. And these words come in the context of addressing false teaching and godless chatter in the church. A lot of the letters that Paul wrote were responses that Christians had, or issues that were happening in the church, and he would respond to it. One of them was here, false teaching and godless chatter in the church. Timothy was probably getting tired and discouraged over fighting false teaching, false teachers, and godless chatter. The false teaching from without and the godless chatter that was within. And you'll see these two things in any discouraged church or pastor. One that has been facing things from without and things from within. And a lot of times, disbelief from out, and maybe you would say poor belief, and a lot of godless chatter within. Timothy faced such difficulties because he was in the fight. Not because he was sitting on the sidelines, but he was in the game. And if we were to be the ones that are to be used of God, to be tools used by the Master for noble purposes, we should expect difficulties as well. Dealing with false teaching, godless talk, two things that the devil tries to use to get us sidetracked and discouraged. If this is you today, if you're discouraged, remember what Paul said to Timothy. To avoid foolish, and he even says stupid. I mean, you would imagine that word is in the Bible. Foolish and stupid arguments. That's what Paul called them. As well as fleeing from evil desires. And you can be certain, if you do so, you can expect God to make you holy, to set you apart for any good work. That's the word of God. Prepare you for any good work as you do that. And the Bible shows us that any good servant can be used for any good work. Because it's not about our ability, but our availability. And the more you surrender to Christ, the more you will see yourself being used for the Master. And again, like I said, it's not about our abilities. For example, looking at music that was played this morning, drumsticks alone aren't going to make a good sound, are they? Or a guitar. It depends what hands that they're in. Or if you would say, like a painting, it's not the paintbrush that does the work. It's not about the paintbrush, but whose hand that the paintbrush is in. Or a fine sculpting, it's not about the chisel, but where the chisel is surrendered, which hands the chisel is surrendered to. There's a story of an artist who orders this chunk of marble to be delivered to his studio. He pays a good price, an average price for it, for this section of marble, and the delivery men bring it to his studio. The men are carrying this heavy, gigantic piece of marble. And they're sweating, and they're yelling at each other, they're cursing. They're cursing this wicked stone. And the artist hears this talk. And they actually say to him, what do you want with this ugly rock? And he says, that's not an ugly rock. And they look at each other, and they're pretty convinced that it is. And he says, well, what I see, you guys might see an ugly rock, but I see the young King David. And they look at each other, well, it's just one of those crazy artists again. And says, well, you guys just don't understand. You don't understand me. You see an ugly rock, but I see the young King David. You come back here in a couple months, and you're going to see him too. The name of that artist was Michelangelo. And that sculpting is now found, where all can see it now, the young King David, in Florence, the Galleria dell'Accademia. So if you ever go to the Tuscany area, that's where you need to go. You see, masterpieces are not the result of wonderful tools, but the hands that they are surrendered to. God wants to do amazing work in and through us. But that's not going to happen unless we are surrendered to Him. That our lives are placed in His hands to do the Master's work, to be used by the Master. And also, not just to do amazing work, but also to see amazing work being done in us. All of us start out like that ugly piece of rock. But once put and surrendered into the hands of the Lord and continue to follow Him, you slowly get shaped into the image of Christ. And so today, wherever you're at, whatever reason you may not be allowing God to use you, know that He always calls us to Himself. No matter how many times we have each seen that we rejected what He was convicting us of or leading us to, no matter how many times we rejected Him, it just takes one turn to follow Him. And so if you feel that you need to turn to Him and let Him use you, today is the day. Let Him use you to shape not just your own life, but also to shape others and see a wonderful masterpieces evolve. Let's pray together. Our good God, we thank You for this day. God, we thank You for those here in the pulpit. Thank You for the message that Zach brought and the work that You're doing through him. And thank You for those that have led today, and thank You that You are a God that leads us and wants to use us. And we don't have to be perfect to be used by the perfect God, but we can see perfection come through Your work. We thank You for the work of Christ that was done on the cross for us, and help us to trust in Him and Your grace each step of the way. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.